There's a new movie debuting in St. Louis on Sunday night over the Plaza Frontenac Cinema called Ever Again. I have not seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. It is a documentary about the rise, or I should say the resurgence, of anti-Semitism in Europe. The man who wrote and directed that documentary, Richard Trank, is in the studio with me this afternoon. Hello, Richard.
Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Welcome to KMOX. You spent how long researching this?
Well, we spent about a year making this film. I work with the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Mariah Films, which is the production company that made the film, is a division of the Wiesenthal Center. So we had been following what had been going on in Europe for the last couple of years, and we decided that we would make this documentary. And we kind of hit the ground running with it and made a number of trips to France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, England. Got a sense of what was going on, and then began to interview people. And it was more disturbing than what we even knew.
Now, I called it a resurgence. Here we are, six decades after World War II and the Holocaust. Did it ever die out, or has it been going on all these years?
It's been going on all these years, but this is a new, virulent form of anti-Semitism, because you have an element you didn't have before, which is the element of Islamic fundamentalism. And, you have the good old anti-Semitism that we know about, that's, neo-Nazis, primarily in Germany, in Switzerland, some parts of Belgium. But the biggest problem is the situation with Islamic fundamentalists. And in fact, what we were all witnessing going on starting in the fall of 2005 until just recently on the streets of France, people rioting, this is what the Jews of France have been living with for the last 5 years. The suburbs where all of these riots were taking place, the Jews live, they're Jewish immigrants, primarily from North Africa, who live in these neighborhoods. They're lower middle class or very poor people, and they have been living under this kind of threat for the better part of 5 years.
When you say an influx of Islamic immigrants, you mean from the Middle East?
Yes.
And we're talking about from countries where they are taught from a very young age to hate Jews.
Correct. I mean, and the other situation is that sometimes you have a lot of these immigrants, whether they're Muslim immigrants or Jewish immigrants, they came to Europe for work and to escape what they were living in their home countries. Then you have another generation that is born in France or Belgium or Holland. And unfortunately, this is not a group of people that has assimilated well into their societies.
Why were their parents able to do it, but they can't?
Their parents took jobs, and for the most part, their parents weren't treated all that great. But where they were living, they weren't being treated all that great. So the parents were just grateful to be able to come to a place and get some work and to be able to raise their families. And then you have a younger generation that isn't in school, that isn't working, that doesn't feel well treated, kind of aimless.
They are part of the mass of underemployment in Europe?
Right. And the radicals in the mosques have attracted these kids in. And we interview some of these kids outside of one of the mosques in a suburb just outside of Paris. And they're being told, the reason that you're living like this, it's all the Jews' fault. It's all because of Israel. It's all because of the Zionists. And they become the convenient scapegoat, just like, the scapegoating that was done in the 30s and in the 40s in Germany.
And when that's all you hear as a young person at the most impressionable ages, that's the impression that you get and the impression you live with, and it grows because all the people around you feel that way. I saw a clip of your movie, and there are kids in this movie, by kids I mean under 25 years old, who are wearing shirts referring to the armed people on their shirts as mm-hmm. members of their own gang, and they're using the word jihad.
Right, right. This was a guy who's one of the organizers of this one particular mosque just outside, just on the outskirts of Paris. And he opened up his shirt, and there was a picture of him dressed up as a suicide bomber. And he was out on the street, you know, yelling to us, "Jihad, jihad, jihad." And I asked him, "What do you mean by jihad?" And he says, "This is the war that's coming." And then he pulled out pictures showing me, you know, pictures of himself with all these weapons. It was frightening.
Now, when you talk to some of these young people, and it really is the scariest part, is that we're talking about a generation that is growing up like this. Do they look at suicide bombers as their heroes?
Yes. Yes. In fact, we asked some of these kids, and what do you think of suicide bombers? Do you support that? And one of the kids said, of course we do, because they do everything for us. I mean, this is what they aspire to.
They see that as the way to change things.
Yeah.
Blow people up, kill innocent
yeah.
people.
Yeah, these people are heroes to them.
Do they rationalize it that it's okay to kill innocent people because the cause is more important, or do they not really care about life?
Well, what they're being told, what they're being taught is that this life isn't important, it's the next life. And if you become a martyr, well, that's the best thing
possible.
It's
the whole 72 virgins thing.
Right, yeah. Right. One of the most frightening clips that's in the film, we talk about how satellite broadcasts from the Middle East that, you know, call for the killing of Jews, that are, I mean, it's just the worst anti-Semitic garbage you can imagine. One of the broadcasts that was beamed all across Europe into homes, because all these families have satellite dishes, two young girls in Palestine, in the Palestinian Authority, 10 and 11 years old, talking about their dream of becoming martyrs, of becoming suicide bombers. It is the most, you look at these two little girls with these angelic faces, and they're speaking in Arabic, and there's a host, very nice looking host, sitting there interviewing them, and they're talking about what their, you know, goal in life is, to become a suicide bomber. And then they take, it's a phone-in show, and they take a phone call from a girl who's talking about her hero was a 16-year-old girl who had just recently blown herself up in Jerusalem somewhere. This was 2 years ago that this broadcast was made, and it continues to be beamed into homes throughout Europe.
When you say it's an Arab satellite channel, are we talking about Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, or is it some sort of unofficial method of communication?
No, it's one of the major broadcasters.
Oh, it's on one of those channels
about. But it's not, that one wasn't on Al Jazeera. It was on one of the you know, I think this was the Hamas, it might have been the Hamas-sponsored satellite channel.
So there's no voice of reason, no condemnation of this kind of thinking.
No, and even Al Jazeera, which many people look at as, you know, the CNN of the Middle East, right after the bombings in London on July the 7th on the subways, they went on the air with a broadcast with a guy who is the head of an Islamic institute in London. And this man, the day after the bombings, was saying that this was a Zionist attack. To create, you know, a diversion.
That the Jews did it, and we're blaming it on the Muslims.
That the Jews did it. That there was no proof that this was Islamic, you know, that this was Islamic fundamentalists. These were the Zionists.
He's a denier.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, that's the other thing. When you get into denying the Holocaust, that's the other main kind of broadcast that is coming in to these homes mm-hmm. throughout Europe, is programming from, primarily from Iran, talking about the myth of the Holocaust, that actually the Holocaust was perpetrated by Jews, rich Jews, to kill poor Jews. And we have clips of that in the film.
It's that sort of lie and hate that is breeding, as we said, a new generation of people who, and you know, it's funny because we here in the United States, we don't have all that much of this going on. There are hate groups in this country, certainly, and the people at the Southern Poverty Law Center do an okay job of monitoring that, and other groups, including the Simon Wiesenthal Center, are keeping an eye out for that sort of thing. But we don't have it en masse here the way they do in Europe, right?
No, no. In fact, that was the other thing that struck me, was speaking to people in Paris who were saying that they can't, like a religious Jew in St. Louis can walk down any street wearing a yarmulke without, but nobody's going to look twice at somebody like mm-hmm. that. In Paris now, you cannot. The chief rabbi of Paris issued a warning: do not wear your yarmulke on the street. Women do not wear Stars of David openly, because you are opening yourself up to physical attack. So these are the kinds of things we don't deal with here. On the other side of it, the neo-Nazi side of it, you know, in the United States, if a group of 200 neo-Nazis announced that they're going to have a march in downtown St. Louis, you'd probably see 1,000 to 2,000 anti-Nazis show up, and it would be big news.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Berlin doing interviews with a young woman who is an anti-Nazi, and she got a phone call that the next day there was going to be a rally, a neo-Nazi rally, commemorating the victims of the Allied bombings in World War II in a town called Magdeburg, which is about an hour from Berlin. And so I figured we'd be going to see 50 to 100 crazy people, you know, that we'd be joking about. We showed up there, my crew and I, there were four of us. There were 5,000 people on a January Saturday morning.
All part of this group.
All part of this
group.
Not
protesters against the group.
No. There were some protesters against the group, but they were 100 or 200 people.
The exact opposite of what you would expect.
Yeah, yeah. And the amazing thing was, there was no coverage of it on the news. There were a couple of short items in two or three of the German newspapers, and we were, you know, my crew's American. We were blown away by it. We couldn't believe what we were seeing.
The documentary is called Ever Again. It'll premiere this Sunday at 7:30 at the Plaza Frontenac Cinema. The man who directed it is Richard Trank. He's here in the studio with me this afternoon on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. It's not often I have an Academy Award winner in the studio, but Richard Trank is an Academy Award winner for the 1997 documentary he did called The Long Way Home. He has done a couple of them since then, including a stunning one a couple of years ago called Unlikely Heroes, about the Jews of the Warsaw Ghetto. And you had Ben Kingsley narrating that one.
Yes.
And I know you've also worked with Morgan Freeman mm-hmm. and on his new movie, Ever Again, which is about the resurgence of violent anti-Semitism in Europe. Kevin Costner.
Yes.
Is the narrator. That's a pretty good pull, all three of those getting them to do that.
We've been very fortunate. And the amazing thing is that everybody who has worked on, we've done now eight, going on nine documentaries. Every single one of the narrators who have narrated our films have donated their talents. So, because they believe in what we're doing. With Kevin Costner, we were lucky to be able to get to him because one of our trustees knew him well. And I wanted an understated kind of a voice, because the images that we were going to be seeing are so difficult. And he couldn't have been more perfect, and he was really great to work with.
You show people in the movie both neo-Nazi and Islamic whack jobs who are leading the new rise of anti-Semitism in Europe. And I was thinking about this on my way in today. Americans don't know about this. You and I actually discussed this during the break a moment ago, that Americans aren't aware of what's going on there. Why is it important that we are?
Well, partly because while we show the extremists, there are also a number of moderates who we speak to from France and from England. And these individuals are the voices of reason, but because the extremists speak louder and they carry a bigger stick, a big silent majority is afraid to voice their support for the moderates. So that was one of the goals, is to let people know, yes, there are moderates, and that if there's anything that we can do to help foster these voices of moderation, will be going a long way to help solve the problem.
And it's also, I think, important for us to realize that the hatred of Jews goes hand in hand in many parts of the radical Islamic world with hatred of America. Mm-hmm. You know, those madrasas run by the Wahhabists in Saudi Arabia and in Saddam Hussein's Iraq and in Iran and other places, they're pretty much the same thing. Judaism and America are the things that their kids are taught to hate from a very young age. And when we see that spreading to Europe, we should say to ourselves, we got to make sure that doesn't spread here. And so maybe we should try to stop it there. Who is trying to stop it? Are the governments involved?
Well, it's interesting. The government of France ignored it for a long time. They didn't want to admit that there was a problem.
Shocking that the government of France would ignore something for a long time.
But one of the people who appears in the film is the current Minister of the Interior, Nicolas Sarkozy, who is the child of Hungarian immigrants to France. And he knows what it was like growing up as an immigrant. It's not easy this is a nation of immigrants. Everybody we know comes from somewhere, and we celebrate that. It's different in France. You are supposed to bury whatever you were, and you become French. But at the same time, if you were not born French, you're reminded of it constantly. Mm. So Sarkozy knows this, and he's risen through the ranks of the center right party that Jacques Chirac heads, and he will probably be the next president of France. And he is very, very tough. He was the guy who, when you know, the riots began to break out in France, he called the rioters thugs, which apparently some people said, you shouldn't do that. You're only inflaming the situation. But he said, look, they are what they are.
A thug is a thug.
And in our film, he says, we can't get too intellectual about this problem. We need to be tough. We need to, you know, heavily sanction, heavily fine, heavily penalize anybody who does this.
And are they doing that?
They're beginning to, and I think with somebody like Sarkozy in charge of the government, you'll see a difference.
What about those other European nations you mentioned?
I'm not as hopeful, and I think the biggest problem is in England, because in England, the people who blew up the subway trains all attended mosques where, for many years, they were calling on a daily basis for the death of Jews and the deaths of others. But they were harping on the death of Jews. And we interview a man on the street who's going on and on and on about the Jews being responsible for everybody's problems. The people who are running these mosques were in the country as political, they had gotten political asylum. So they were there they weren't there legally. And it wasn't until after the trains were blown up that the British government decided, well, maybe we should start sending some of these people back. And then there was a huge debate about, well, if we send them back to their home countries, how can we be assured that they're going to get a fair trial? So they're over-intellectualizing it, and the problem's only getting worse and worse there.
Mm.
And if you talk to the average Jew on the street in London or in Manchester, then there's 150,000 Jews that live in England, nobody's feeling very comfortable right now.
Tickets are available for Sunday night?
Yes, they are.
7:30 p.m. at the Plaza Frontenac Cinema. Where do people get tickets?
There's a number to call,
which you have with you, and we'll give in a second.
Yeah, I will give in a second.
And we can also go to the Plaza Frontenac Cinema and get them.
Yeah, the Plaza Frontenac also will have information. It's a benefit for the Simon Wiesenthal Center and the Museum of Tolerance. And the tickets start at $75.
Okay, that'll be the premiere screening of Ever Again, and Richard is rolling it out across the country as the year goes along as well. Richard Trank, the director of this movie about the resurgence of the anti-Semitism in Europe, it's called Ever Again. Right now I'm in a studio with Richard Trank, the screenwriter and director of a new movie that examines the resurgence of anti-Semitism in Europe. It is called Ever Again. It premieres in St. Louis as a benefit this Sunday night. And if you're interested in getting tickets, 314-878-3607 is the number. 314-878-3607. And now we'll include some of your phone calls. James, you're on KMOX. Hello.
Yes, hi. The reason anti-Semitism is spreading because you've got Al Jazeera and computers beaming all over the world of U.S. with Israel wanting to attack Iraq, now wanting to attack Iran. And it's being these communications much better. And then the world's being bombed by U.S. soldiers going into Muslim countries, bombing on false pretenses. And AIPAC, American Jewish Lobby Group, wanted this war. Perlman, Wolfowitz, them are not Arab or Irish names. It's the war on Islam, and you got communications better, and this word's being spread that...
So, James, you're one of these people who believes this is all a Zionist conspiracy against Islam.
I'm giving you a reason of why it's spreading.
Well, you're making up reasons is what you're doing here, but let me ask Richard, how much is the Internet responsible for the spread of this? Because you talked earlier about this rally you went to where there were 5,000 people, neo-Nazis and Islamic fundamentalists, all rallying in an anti-Semitic rally that did not get a lot of coverage from the media there. So how is the word spreading?
Well, the Internet is one of the main ways that it's spreading, and there was one person who we spoke with in Holland, and she was very frank with us. And this is somebody who works with Jewish groups and Muslim groups, tolerance groups getting together. But she was saying the biggest problem that moderate Muslims as well as activists in the Jewish community in Holland have told her is the stuff that's coming on the Internet, and a lot of it comes from the United States, and you can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the war in Iraq, Ilan Halimi, who was a 23-year-old Jewish cell phone salesman working in Paris, who was kidnapped in January, tortured for 3 weeks by Islamic fundamentalists, and then left for dead, and he did die on the streets of Paris. He has nothing to do with the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He has nothing to do with American foreign policy. He was kidnapped and murdered because he was Jewish. And one thing has nothing to do with the other.
When you were covering some of these rallies and talking to some of these people, and I use that word very, very loosely because I think people is far too kind for some of them, were you in danger?
When we went to that rally in Magdeburg, we got shoved around a little bit, but we made a decision that we would stay on the outskirts and film. And I don't think that these marchers want that. That way, they would have made headlines. They're trying to make themselves look as reasonable and as sympathetic as possible. We did have one guy who was working with us who had gone underground and had filmed secretly neo-Nazi and skinhead concerts and gatherings that are all tied into one of the main political parties of Germany, the NDB, which many people say is the modern day incarnation of the Nazi Party. So he did a lot of that kind of stuff for us because there's no way on earth that we could have. We don't speak the language, and you know we show him in disguise in the film. There were a couple of extremists who we spoke to in Belgium, but we had a very good cover, and I think we were fine.
Did you catch any hate crimes on film?
We were able to get some things after the fact, but it's sort of hard to be there when it happens.
Do some of these groups film themselves as they're doing it, and then you can get your hands on them?
Well, we didn't get anything like that. We for instance, there was a synagogue in Paris that had a security camera, and it was firebombed, and the security camera picked the guys as they were running up, and we show it right in the beginning of the film, torching the synagogue. So we got things like that. There was one instance in Paris where we were filming in a neighborhood, and this was not in a suburb, but really close to the center of Paris in a neighborhood where there are a lot of Islamic bookstores. And that was the one time that things got a little bit scary. A guy came up to us, and one of the people we were working with understands Arabic, and he basically said, If you don't get out of here now, you're going to be very sorry. And we noticed on various street corners there was the kind of the local protection group. So we took the hint well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of us wants to be a martyr.
One more segment with Richard Trank in just a moment here. He's the screenwriter and director of a documentary called Ever Again, produced for the Simon Wiesenthal Center. There'll be a benefit showing of it, screening of it, this Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. at the Plaza Frontenac Cinema, and you can get your tickets at 878-3607. This is the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. Talking with Richard Trank, who is the screenwriter and director of this new documentary called Ever Again about the resurgence of anti-Semitism in Europe. Why should we care here in the United States? Because this is the hatred that is being born around the world, and it's not just of Jews, it is of you and me, Americans, as well. And seeing it on any shore, anywhere, should be something that we should all be concerned about. He is affiliated with the Simon Wiesenthal Center and the Museum of Tolerance out in Los Angeles, California. You talked before about a Jew who, you know, is an Orthodox Jew and wears a yarmulke, can't walk down the street in Paris now. A woman can't wear a Star of David. Is there a new exodus starting in Europe because of this?
There has been. And in fact, the largest group of new immigrants to Israel are coming from France. I spend a lot of time going back and forth working, filming stuff in Israel. And, you know, you usually see street signs that are in Hebrew and Arabic, English. The last few years they added Russian because there were a million Russian immigrants. And now you're also seeing, in addition to Russian, French. You never saw that before.
Mm-hmm.
There are neighborhoods in Tel Aviv and in Netanya and in Jerusalem that are predominantly French neighborhoods. So, and that's one of the reasons why I think the French government began to start taking this problem seriously, because they saw an influx to Israel from the French Jewish community.
So the movie is going to premiere on Sunday night. Will it have a run here in St. Louis?
This is its premiere screening, benefit screening. And then in the summer, the film will be theatrically released,
mm-hmm.
and we, you know.
So those of us who can't be there Sunday night
Sunday
can see
night,
it later
yeah.
on.
Hopefully it will be back here at Plaza Frontenac for at least a couple of weeks.
But if you would like to get tickets for the premiere on Sunday night, a benefit, you can call 314-878-3607. I also hope it gets on television so millions more can see it and learn about it. And I thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be in St. Louis.
Richard Trank, the man behind this new documentary called Ever Again, here on the Paul Harris Show.